This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three, VSiN Prime Time here on a Wednesday. Matt Brown, Mark Melusis in for the dudes as we are. I mean, I'm running pretty pure right now, Mark. I made a horrible bet in the Reds Red Sox. What looked to be a horrible bet in the Reds Red Sox over. It was dead. They've come through for eight runs with me in the last couple of innings. So I might get lucky here in this one. And the Brewers have decided that they're going to make this thing a game as well with the Mets. So maybe I'm just going to claw a couple of victories out of what looked like certain defeat.
Yeah, it's Brewers down 5-3 now, top of the sixth, Two outs, man on second. So they've got an opportunity. They pushed three across for you, Matty, here in the top of the sixth.
I know, I'm feeling so, at least it's a sweat now, right? I was just completely dead.
Yeah.
And now at least it's a sweat. We said we didn't want to back this Orioles team, and here they are down 3-0 in this one with only one hit in this one against Eovaldi. I don't know what to say about this Orioles team. They got to blow up that whole organization. They need to everything top to bottom because, boy, this was a far too talented team for them to be as bad as they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're 37-48 coming into tonight. I mean, it's just terrible. They've already fired their manager. Matt, they don't have enough pitching, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't have pitching. And listen, they lost Corbin Burns in free agency. He suffered the arm injury. He signed with Arizona. Tommy John, he's done. I get it. But, you know, you've got to go out there as we all see it. I mean, you see it when teams take a downturn. Starting rotation, bullpen. If you don't have enough quality arms, it's hard to get through a long 162-game season. We all looked at the Baltimore Orioles and said, well, I like some guys from them positionally, but I just don't see them having a staff. And their starting rotation, their entire staff on the whole is not particularly good, and they've been really bad. I'm surprised because it looked like 3 years ago this was going to be an Oriole team that was going to be a force in the American League East and a force in baseball for years to come. And, you know, a short time later, they're the doormat once again in the AL East.
Tigers, one in the top of the fourth, one in the top of the sixth, two in the top of the seventh, and now they hold a lead there over Washington 4-3. This Detroit Tigers team just continues plugging along, the 54-32 division leading Detroit Tigers now have a lead in the top of the eighth inning over in Washington. We probably should have looked to play them live when they were down 3-0.
Probably. Yeah. That's a miss by us. Yeah. That's a miss.
Probably should have done that because it was like, what were we thinking? Did we really think they weren't going to figure out a way to win this thing? Of course they were going to. Houston gets an early 1-0 lead there. One run in the top of the first against Colorado. I am monitoring Hunter Brown's strikeouts. That said, he had none in the first inning. So we will see if he can get us to that seven number. So, Mark, I'm a big golf bettor. One of the hosts here on the network for the golf betting podcast that we do called Long Shots. And so I have looked at this tournament. Look, it's a birdie fest. It's a John Deere Classic over at TPC Deer Run. It's a short, easy course in which we're going to see guys shoot into the 20 unders to win this thing. If you're looking to get some bets into your account, I'm not going to go into incredible detail here. You can go over to VSiN.com or wherever you get your podcast, look up Long Shots. You can get me and Wes and Kelly and get all of the thoughts here on this one. I did end up playing outrights on Rico Hoey, Bud Cauley, Ben Coles, Mark Hubbard, Lee Hodges, and Kevin Roy. If you want to go in, all those guys have pretty big numbers attached to their name, and they're all guys that find fairways and hit greens pretty well, and that's kind of what I was just looking for this week in this tournament. Unlike last week where you could just bomb it and there was absolutely no penalty whatsoever, there's going to be a lot more less than driver holes here at TPC Deer Run, so these are going to be guys that are going to be needing a little bit more accuracy and a little bit more precision off of the tee. So those are the guys I ended up on. Again, you can get all the reasoning behind it and all the different stuff we were looking at over on the Long Shots podcast. But Rico Hoey, Bud Cauley, Ben Coles, Mark Hubbard, Lee Hodges, and Kevin Roy are the guys that I ended up on. You do much golf betting?
A little bit on the majors.
Yeah.
Not tournament in, tournament out. You know, I enjoy, you know, we have a tournament, and I live up in Stamford, but we have a tournament in Cromwell, Connecticut, the Travelers Championship, which Keegan Bradley won this year. Yeah, my wife took one of our kids up to that, and they had a great time and had a lot of fun. It's a great tournament. So I get into the majors, like the Open, the PGA, the Masters, obviously the U.S. Open, all that. Like, those are fun. And sometimes I think during the course of the year, there's opportunities to take advantage of. A guy I'm rooting for is, I know he's at the top of the market, 16-1, Ben Griffin.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, you know, my son had an opportunity to meet him at the Travelers Championship.
Awesome.
Like, when he was walking off the green after the 18th hole, and my wife and I, and he was taking pictures and signing autographs. And just as a side note, like, he couldn't have been a nicer guy to all the people there. So an easy guy to root for. So I'll be rooting for Ben Griffin at 16-1 in the John Deere. Not against you, Matt. I just think he's a good guy. Easy guy to root for.
Listen, if it wasn't a 16-1, if it wasn't the number 16 next to his name, he would have made the card for me. I mean, he is the hottest golfer, one of the hottest golfers on the planet right now. I mean, just top 20 after top 20 after top 10 after top 10 for him. And, you know, this for me, if you go with the model that I made, he's inside the top five in every single one of the versions of the models that I made. It's just very tough for me to get to him at 16-1 when I'm used to betting Ben Griffin at like 80-1. You know, we were betting Ben Griffin last year, like 80-1, and here he is at 16-1. But he's the class of this field. He really is. I mean, he has been playing better than anybody else that's going to be teeing it up tomorrow morning. And so I understand why the number is as short as it is.
So for those that want to get into it, like week in and week out and looking at golf betting, what do you lean into when you say you're modeling? Because I'm curious, like, what do you lean into week in and week out based on the course? Are you talking about greens and regulation, course fitting, the golfer's strengths, how the golfer is playing? Like, what do you lean into?
Yeah. So first and foremost, I say this on Long Shots every week, but people might not listen to that. And so if they're hearing me for the first time, I'm not a coder. So when I say that I'm modeling, I'm taking somebody else has built these skeletons of these models, and you go in and you pick the stats that matter to you, and then you weight them however you feel the importance are in that week. And so shout out to where credit is due. Rick Gaiman, he's been a frequent guest on the network. He has a really good site that has a model in there that you can go in and pick the stats and then weight them accordingly. The guys over at BetSperts have a really good model that I use as well. And then at DataGolf. So I run models on three different sites. If there's similarities, that makes me want to dig into a golfer a little bit further. But yeah, I mean, what I'm doing is going in and taking the course, what I feel to be important in as far as the skill set needed to do well in this course. And then I go in and plug those in, and then I'll, you know, you get 100% to distribute, and then you just weight the different areas accordingly. So for this week, I did off the tee without any driving distance whatsoever, because I don't think distance is going to be important this week. And I think off the tee is a little bit more all encompassing, because even if you're less than driver off the tee, you can still gain strokes off the tee. Even if you're hitting three wood, five wood, whatever these guys, seven woods, these guys are now hitting off the tees and things like that. And then I looked at fairways gained, good drive percentage. And so a good drive, if you're wondering from an advanced statistics category out there, guys, like, a good drive is one that misses the fairway, but it misses the fairway to a point where you're not in the super penal rough and you can still get it to the green in regulation. And so that's kind of your, like, a good drive, and that's kind of a good drive percentage. I put that into the model this week. Each and every week we put approach in, because approach stats are just so incredibly important. But unfortunately, in a tournament like this, Mark, it's probably just going to come down to who ends up making the most putts, because as we saw last week, everybody annihilated that course last week. Everybody went low, and it's probably going to happen again this week. And it's probably just going to end up being the guy that ends up draining a putt that he probably shouldn't make and is going to end up winning the tournament. But hey, why can't it be one of these guys that I put out there?
No, I love it. Yeah. I mean, I love it. And I'm going to tell you on your plays, because I know you're into it but if you look at it, when you look at this week, what do you think the winning score, do you look at historically winning score on this course, and where do you think a golfer needs to get to this week?
Yeah, it's going to have to be, I think it'll be better than 22 under. Like, I think it'll be 23, 24, 25, somewhere in that range. I mean, these guys just continually get better and better and better each and every year. And they're leaning into analytics a little bit more as well, understanding when and when not to take risks. And that sometimes, like, it used to just be like, oh, you took a risk every time you had it. And it's, you know, you got to go for it. And now they understand that, like, hey, they're so good with their wedges and stuff that, like, laying up is not looked at as being a chicken anymore. And, like, you can actually just, like, play smart and still score real low at all these courses and stuff. And so, yeah, I think that we're probably going to see guys, you know, 6-7 under per round, all four rounds, looking somewhere in that, you know, 24, 25 ish range. And so 156 guys are going to tee it up, 65 and ties are going to make the cut in this one. And like I said, all of those guys are probably going to be 5-6 under through a couple of rounds.
Yeah, look at the winning score last year, 28 under par for Davis Thompson. That's insane. Yeah.
Yes.
But the other thing is to lean long shots is look at historically speaking, you know, you look at the last seven winners, the shortest price was 25-1.
Yeah, it is a tournament. So I say this every time. And so I'll say it to you. So everyone can hear it. Every one of these guys, obviously, on the PGA Tour is like the best golfer any of us have ever seen in our whole lives. Yeah. And so the only thing that really separates them is the course. And so when you put them on a course that's easy, they all can just light it up, right? I mean, like the worst dude can still light it up. I mean, Aldrick Pottgeider that won last week had made 5 of 17 cuts or whatever, like heading into the tournament. It's they're all amazing, you know? And so it's really the course that changes everything up.
Well, it's funny. I have that conversation with my kids all the time, and they're like, well, he's not that good. I go, well, he's in the NBA or he's in the NHL or he's on the PGA Tour. Like, even if they're not good, that they're still like really, really good.
They're
like,
still just really, to make it, really
it's good. Unbelievable.
Yes, guys, exactly. if you want to come and hang with us out here in Vegas, Derek's going to let you do it on the cheap. $400 all-in pricing, get you two nights here at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and a day bed up at Stadium Swim. No fees, no tax, no nothing. A $400 all-in price for two nights, 100 dining and 100 beverage, CircaLasVegas.com.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime. Matt and Mark here with you for the next hour and 45 minutes as we continue to roll through these NFL divisions and sweat out one more run in the Reds and Red Sox. If you guys just want to get one more across, that would be great, as the Brewers have given one back to the Mets here in the sixth inning, because, you know, we can't have nice things here on the program, Mark. But
yeah, Lindor and RBI single scoring Ronnie Mauricio.
Yeah, just can't have nice things here. But maybe they'll get Soto out here, and I can still live to see another day, because there is a runner on. Man, everybody throws 97 plus these days, Mark. Like, I mean, this guy, I've never heard of this guy. Yeah, I've never heard of this guy that's coming in for the Brewers. He's like 98 from the left side. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and it was like, it was such a rarity. And it wasn't that all that long ago. You didn't have to go back to like the 50s or the 60s. It was like the 90s, or, you know, where it was like a rarity where a guy was throwing the ball 97, 98 miles an hour. Now everybody is. I remember
we'd see closers, and when they were throwing like 95, 96, I remember being a kid going, that guy throws like 95, like, you know, and they would be a closer, and that, you know, but then now it's like, you're garbage if you throw 95.
Yeah. When I was a kid, the Yankees made a trade with the San Diego Padres and got Lance McCullers, the son of Lance McCullers from the Astros, right? Got him from the Padres, and he stepped in and he used to throw the ball 98. And I never saw a pitcher before in my life throw the ball 98 miles an hour. He was terrible. Like, as quick as it went in, it went out. Like, he was terrible, but still, he threw the ball 98 miles an hour. Now every Tom, Dick, and Harry, even guys that got like an ERA over 8, they're throwing the ball 98 miles an hour.
It's just, it's absolutely amazing. And again, I'd never heard of this guy. Comes in just 98 miles an hour from the left-hand side. NFC East, the Eagles, Commanders, Cowboys, and Giants. We're going to be looking at win totals of 11.5, 9.5, 7.5, and 5.5. I want to head to the bottom here again. I want to talk to you about the New York Football Giants, in which I went in and broke my fingers putting in an under on a 5.5 win total for the New York Football Giants. And I want you to tell me where I'm going to get tripped up in this bet, because as we look at this schedule, I need you to find me 6 wins somewhere along the way, because I think I'm being generous and I continue to get to 5 wins. I mean, at Washington, at Dallas, are we going to give them either one of those?
Probably not. No.
Kansas City, the Chargers. Probably not. Okay. So here's where we get to 1. At New Orleans. Now, it is on the road at New Orleans, but
right,
we'll give them New Orleans, because I think New Orleans is going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL.
I would agree with that. Tough place to play, but New Orleans is bad. Correct. Okay. I'd give them the Saints victory.
Now, Philly in week 6, no way.
No.
Then at Denver, at Philly in 7-8.
No.
San Francisco 49ers at home in week number 9.
They could win that. That's okay. A potential.
I'll give
they
them could a, win that. All right, I'll give them a potential. At Chicago in 10.
I'm going to go on the idea of Ben Johnson. It's probably a loss.
Probably a loss. Green Bay at home. You like Green Bay.
I do. I don't think they're winning that game.
Then it's back-to-back roadies, Detroit and New England. Let's give them New England. Let's give them New England just for funsies. Yeah.
Right.
Bye week, then it is at home versus the Commanders.
Loss.
At home versus the Vikings.
Maybe give them a win.
Okay, we'll give them the Vikings. On the road at Vegas, we'll give, I mean, you know, again, we think that that Vegas could be froggy, but it is on the road, but let's just be kind and give them that. Then the last home game of the year is Dallas. So we're at 5 wins. We were generous on a couple of those. Let's say that I just have a very, very hard time getting to 6 wins with this team.
Yeah, the schedule is impossible. I mean, the schedule is not for a team that that was drafting as, you know, as high as the Giants were drafting. I mean, that's it with the 3rd overall selection. I mean, it's a barbaric schedule way you look at it. The only thing I would say, Matt, in the Giants' favor is I think the defense is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, agree.
And I think the defensive line is going to be ridiculous. I think they've got an opportunity. The early reports is that, you know, they're going to be able to get after the quarterback. Can they create short field opportunities? No doubt. Can they? When you look at Abdul Carter, was he really, really impressive in OTAs? Yes, he was. Mm. So, you know, I think that Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, I think that's as an opportunity. I think, you know, Brian Daboll handing over play calling duties to Mike Kafka, I think is going to be a positive, because I think the Giants wanted him to coach the entire team. All those things to me, I think, are positive. The problem the Giants have is the difficulty of the schedule, Russell Wilson at quarterback. At some point in time, you'll see Jackson Dart, and the difficulty of the division.
Is that at some point they have to go to Dart. You can't draft him and not play him. So,
You think if you put that schedule back up, right, what's the possible way where the Giants go to Jackson Dart? I mean, you know, if it's really bad, they could go him earlier than this. I think the prototypical way would be to go where it would be that Washington game week 15 after the bye week,
right,
because you've seen it before where teams give their young quarterback 2 weeks to prepare, 2 weeks to game plan. It's a home game. At some point in time, they're going to probably need to sell that to the fan base. It's going to be during the holiday season. They want people showing up, being excited about what football is going to be like in 2026. That's the game I'd probably look at, unless Russell Wilson gets hurt.
Makes that road game that we gave them in Vegas a little less winnable, because that would be Dart's 3rd start, and it's going to be his first start on the road and all of that.
No doubt.
So again, I have a tough time getting them to 6 wins. It was the very first bet that I put in.
And Matt, I don't mean I haven't heard anybody, and I agree with you, that's bullish on the Giants. I think it's really, really hard. I think it's really hard to get to 6 wins on the Giants this year on the schedule, the division, the quarterback situation. I'm not a huge Russell Wilson guy. I think it all adds up to another long season for the Giants. And I think it could be a case where, Matt, we're similar to the Raiders, where they look a lot better in these games. than they did a year ago, but it still ends up being losses because they're just not where they need to be talent-wise.
Eagles minus 135 to win the division. Is that too short? I mean, like, are we really giving the Commanders a real chance to threaten them for this division?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I grew up a Commanders fan, a Washington fan, right? I mean, I look at it. I still have concerns about their defense. I like the fact they brought in Laramie Tunsil to play left tackle. Concerns a little bit about the offensive line as well. Does Jane Daniels, similar to what we saw from C.J. Stroud, can you tell me without a shadow of a doubt that there isn't maybe a little bit of a step back from Jane Daniels year two after what we saw from year number one? Because I think he took the NFL by storm. I think people were surprised at just how brilliant he was. I think the sky's the limit and what he is going to be as an NFL quarterback. You look at Philadelphia, I think they cleaned up a lot of the mess that they were mired in after the last run to the Super Bowl when they lost to Kansas City, where guys weren't locked in. I think they've changed, obviously, their training staff. Guys have been a lot fitter, healthier, in shape. You look at there's no more concerns about their head coach and his leadership capabilities. It seems like, you know, you look at Saquon Barkley and his leadership, how he fits that offense and kind of uncut, you know, was an unbelievable free agent signing last offseason. Yeah, it's the Eagles division to lose. I don't think the Commanders, I think they're going to be a playoff team. I just don't look at them as a threat for the division.
Yeah, I think the 135 is playable. I mean, I really do. But I'll fully admit I'm very high on the Eagles. I have them going back to back. I mean, I have them winning it all again, you know, so
I can see it.
I would obviously think they're going to win the division, you know, if I have them winning it all. So, I mean, I'm higher on them than whatever. I just think this price was, I think there's a bigger gap between the Eagles and the Commanders than 135 and 205. That's just my personal opinion.
Right. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think there's a bigger gap between the Eagles and the Commanders than there is the Commanders with the Cowboys if Dak Prescott stays healthy. That's right. The way I would look at it. And that's a fair assessment. So I agree with you in terms of the division odds, minus 135. You're looking at, and you're getting plus 650 to go out there and repeat as champions. I think unless they get in their own way and the hunger and desire is not there, what's actually going to change? You know, the offensive line's going to be great. Saquon's going to be a game breaker at running back. They've got dynamic wide receivers, a really good tight end, a quarterback that makes it all work, and they've got defensive line depth from now until kingdom come to get after the quarterback. So Philadelphia, to me, has got an abundance of riches, and you look at Howie Roseman's done an unbelievable job, not only in free agency, but the NFL draft. They're the team to beat, and I think the marketplace shows you, I agree with you, minus 135 to me is the play.
Betting splits page is where you can go in and take a look. Feeds coming directly from DraftKings and Circa. VSiN.com/subscribe. You can get in for as little as $9.99 for your first month. Go in, compare, contrast, see if anything lines up for you. It doesn't have to be a complete decision maker for you, but at least can make you look a little bit deeper into some of these games. Again, the betting splits page over on VSiN.com, VSiN.com/subscribe. Get in for as little as $9.99. Better late than never, but I will take them late. 12 runs now in Boston, so we got that puppy home. 8 runs by the Reds, 4 runs by the Red Sox, a 5 spot in the 7th, and a 3 spot in the 8th. Thank you, Cincinnati. We got that one home. We're probably going to lose over there in the Brewers game, but hey, that's okay. We'll deal with it. Some more baseball when we come back.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN Primetime here on a Wednesday. Matt and Mark coming to you. Feeling pretty good that I stole a win there in the Boston Red Sox, Cleveland, yeah, and Cincinnati Reds over there. Looked like that was a dead under. Instead, we get that one home. We thought the Yankees were dead in the water as they were down 8-0, but here we are, top of the 7th, 2 on. 8-7 now in this game. Yankees threatening to come all the way back in this one. I apologize to the Yankees and everyone that was listening, all the Yankees fans. We told you to go to dinner. We told you to go to the bar. Totally, we told you to leave, and here you are. Only one run away with two guys on. Oh, boy, someone hit into a double play. But that's fine. You're still only one run down after being down 8-0. We're heading to the middle of the 7th inning.
Middle of the set. Listen, yeah. After being down 7-0, Matt, I think you'd sign up for being down 8-7 with six out. You got 6 outs to play with, right? Going to the middle of the 7th inning, bottom of the 7th, Toronto home. a nurse in that 8-7 lead, I think you'd sign on the dotted line, given the fact of where this team and how this team has played as of late and where this game was early on. And I was dead wrong. I've watched this team, and I thought they were dead in the water. I didn't think they would be coming all the way back and roaring all the way back. And now they've made it a game late in it, going to the bottom of the seventh down just one.
Seemed like all we were saying, Angels 2-0. Braves now up 7-2 there. Wow. In that one. They put up a seven spot in the bottoms. It is the night of the big inning. They put up a seven spot in the bottom of the sixth. They are looking at Olsen is 3-for-4 in this one. He's got four RBI. You've got Murphy with three RBI in this one. So big, big inning there for them. And they are now up 7-2 in that one. And then over in, we said, can't back this Baltimore Orioles team. 6-0 now, Rangers over the Orioles. And the worst is just getting worse for this team. Sugano gets chafed after 4 2/3. 10 hits given up, 6 earned. He walked one along the way. 2 guys went deep. That was Semien and Seager for the Rangers in that one. Eovaldi, 5 innings, only given up 2 hits in this one. He has walked one, 5 Ks. And obviously, if the Orioles have 0, he has given up 0 earned runs. That is putting Eovaldi's ERA on the season down at 1.75.
He's been great. He's been unbelievable. I mean, he really has been. Braves are a strange team. We talked about it a little bit earlier, Matt. I mean, just odd. 10 games under 500, flat-footed tie for third place in the National League East with the Marlins coming into it, 4-6 in the last 10, riding the 2-game losing streak. You know, expectations coming into it, and here they are. You know, you thought maybe with the way they played against the Mets, it was going to turn their season around. Swept the Mets and then lost the series to Miami. So, like, it's just odd. You never know. Baseball is a strange game as it is. You don't know what you're going to get from the Atlanta Braves. The Orioles are just bad. And you're right about Eovaldi. I mean, he's been around a game for a long time and has been, when he's right, he has the opportunity to be really, really dominant as a starter. And you're seeing that this year.
We do have some more games still coming. We want to make sure to get those to you guys. So first pitch coming in Royals and Mariners here in about 10 minutes. That is Noah Cameron and Logan Gilbert. Gilbert and the Mariners are -168 home favorites in that one. The Royals and Cameron +138 road dogs. A flat 7 is your total in that one. And that is a lot. That has a lot to do with the fact that Gilbert has been awesome. And in the short, small sample size we've seen of Noah Cameron, he's not given up more than 2 earned runs in a start so far this season. Now, advanced stats say maybe the regression monster is coming for him at some point, but that doesn't mean it's tonight, Mark.
No, it doesn't. But I think Greg, who joined us, Peterson, that is, thought the regression was going to happen this evening, correct? Mm-hmm. I believe he did. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen tonight. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't really have a great feel for this one. Don't really have anything side or total when looking at this matchup.
Yeah, it is. For me, the flat 7 has it very unattractive to me. If it was 8, maybe we could look at an under, but a flat 7 just doesn't do anything for me there. Giants, Landon Rupp and Merrill Kelly going for the Diamondbacks. This is Diamondbacks -144 at home as favorites. The Giants +118 road dogs. 8.5 is our total here in this one. This Diamondbacks team, it's like one bad thing after one bad thing after one bad thing, but they're scratching and clawing, Mark.
They are, and the Giants are scuffling along. Mm. I think they've lost 6 of 7 when you look at San Francisco. I'm going to bite on this one. I'm going to take the Giants on the road at plus money in this one. You look at it, you know, Kelly's been good this year. It's not a favorable matchup either way. I'll take San Francisco to bounce back tonight out in Arizona.
And then we are our final game of the evening, White Sox and the Dodgers. This is Dodgers by a ton, -351 now on the line here at DraftKings. You can see, so these graphics get made just like, you know, throughout the course of the day, keep getting updated and whatever. That's the odds here at Circa. You can see at DraftKings getting bet at the National Book out even further at -351 for the Dodgers, +271 if you want the White Sox on the road as dogs, and then a flat 9 is our total. The significance of this one, of course, is Clayton Kershaw is 3 strikeouts away from 3,000. So he is very likely, considering this is the White Sox, to get there tonight and get there tonight in front of a home crowd. And what we looked up a little bit earlier, Mark, of course, Justin Verlander is active and he got there. He's sitting at 3,471. Max Scherzer is active and he got there at 3,419. Next on the list is Clayton Kershaw at the 29.97, and fourth on the active list is Chris Sale, all the way down at 25.28. Chris Sale, of course, is 36 years old. Very unlikely to get there given his injury situation, injury health, and of course just the age and how far he has to go. Garrett Cole, as you mentioned, had he not gotten hurt, maybe, but he's 34 now, sitting at 22.51. I could give you 10 guesses as to who's number six on the active list in strikeouts. Maybe you'd get there, but we don't have time for the guesses. Charlie Morton is sixth active strikeouts.
Yeah. I would not have gotten to Charlie Morton.
Yeah, Charlie Morton is number sixth on the active strikeout list, and he's all the way down at 21-24, and he's 41 years old. And we kind of brought up the point, if you look at this, very unlikely for Sale to get there. Very unlikely for Cole to get there. Morton is definitely not getting there. He's 41. Darvish is next on the list. He's 38. He's not getting there. He's at 2,000. He needs 1,000 strikeouts. And then we said kind of the air quote young guys on the list are Gausman and Nola at 34 and 32 years old. But Gausman is 1,200 off, as is Nola. So I think we raised a really good question as to whether we are going to see another 3,000 strikeout pitcher maybe in our lifetimes. And given the nature of how analytics are now, where you don't want guys to get through the third time of the lineup and a five inning start is considered a good start these days and all of that. Like, I don't know if we will. I really don't.
Yeah, I think it takes someone ridiculously special. And I don't think any of the guys we talked about, Sale or Cole, are going to get there either due to age and due to health. And so I think what we're going to witness tonight, and for Kershaw, you look at the odds, -351. That's like peak Clayton Kershaw when he was with the Los Angeles Dodgers, right? It just shows you just how bad the Chicago White Sox are. And obviously the Dodgers are one of the best teams in all of Major League Baseball and the favorite to go out there and win the World Series. But Kershaw's not that pitcher anymore. But, you know, he deserves that kind of center stage for the career that he's had, Matt. You know, a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, has done it with one organization. Ridiculously special. I mean, the curveball is off the charts. But, you know, to hammer your point home, no, I think tonight we're going to see a little bit of history out in Los Angeles at the beautiful Chavez Ravine. And we might not ever see that again for quite some time in Major League Baseball for everything that you mentioned in terms of the way that baseball has shifted and how they use their starters.
Kershaw's strikeout prop set at 4.5 tonight. Again, he needs 3 to get to 3,000, so he is set at 4.5. The over is -120. The under is -110. So the books definitely don't think he's going to blow this out of the water tonight. It might be a sweat to get him to 3,000 tonight.
No, it might be, but I'd love to see him do it at home. Yeah. Like, I'm one of those guys. If you love, to do it at home in front of the Dodger faithful and to have that moment for the career that he's had. No, and I get emotions don't come into play when you're setting a line and you're a bookmaker. I get that. I understand it. But I'd love to see him get to that 3 tonight, set the tone. Dodgers win easily over the Chicago White Sox, and Kershaw has his historic moment.
This would be one of those, if I was going to play this, I would play just an alt over that he just goes nuclear on his night. You know, he has like 8, he turns back the clock and has like 8 or 9 strikeouts or something, you know, or whatever. I mean, I think that would be the only way I'd do it. That's the way I'd want to root for it. Anyway, Mark.
Well, you got the right team. It's the White Sox. You got the right team that's in play, right? I mean, it's Chicago in L.A. They're bad. They're terrible. I mean, they're the worst hitting team with runners in scoring position all season long. So this is set for Clayton Kershaw to have himself an evening in LA.
Guys, ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange out there available in 40 plus states. So you're betting against guys like me and Mark, as opposed to betting against the house. So go in ProfitX, download today, use the promo code VSIN, and you can earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. So you can go in, you can pick up bets from other people, or you can even put in some bets of your own and see if those get picked up. Again, peer-to-peer exchange, ProfitX, promo code VSIN, earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. When we come back, we will talk some NFC North. Could this be the best division in all of football?
The This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are rolling along here, Matt and Mark, as we are sitting here. And I got four Ks through three innings with Hunter Brown. We got lucky. We got lucky in the Reds and the Red Sox. We got that over home. That said, they bring in Edwin Diaz. Three straight changes, just filthy changeups. Strikes out Jake Bowers with two guys on. So maybe that one is not to be. Maybe that one's not to be, Mark.
Mets still have that 6-3 lead. But, I mean, give the Brewers credit. They put the guys on base. Stanek was in the game with two outs. And Mendoza, rightfully so, going at Edwin Diaz for the four-out save. That's the time to go to him. And Bowers pinch hit for Ortiz, the shortstop for the Milwaukee Brewers. And after starting at 2-0, two straight swings and misses, as you mentioned, on two nasty off-speed pitches, and then gets him looking to end the threat for Milwaukee. So we're going to the bottom of the eighth inning, and Mets still up 6-3.
That dude just hit a two-run home run to tie the game. Yes, Aaron Judge goes deep for the Yankees. 9-9 in the top of the eighth inning. They pitch. How do they pitch to him? He's the only guy in the lineup that can hit. The Blue Jays deserve to lose this game.
Yeah, Bellinger hitting behind him is hitting 268. I don't understand. Well, I mean, Judge has been terrible. Last 20 games, he was hitting 220, but I don't understand why you would pitch to Judge there. But that is a remarkable comeback for the Yankees. They were down 7-0 in this game. Judge has had a great year, Matt, but he hasn't had a lot of big moments like this. That's a big time moment up in Toronto. Yeah. Down 9-7, game tying home run. We're all tied up at 9.
Look at that. Actually, yeah, Toronto added that third that run in the third. They were down 8-0 after three innings, and then put up the sixth spot in the top of the fifth. One in the sixth, and then now the two-run shot here in the eighth. We are 9-9 in the top of the eighth in this one. Whoa, the Blue Jays, if they lose this one, that is going to be one to remember for sure. You don't get too many 8-0 leads.
No, you don't get those, and especially in a game, AL East, the Yankees haven't been particularly good in the American League East. They've been scuffling along. The division's within striking range. We talked about with the division, with Greg Peterson, who joined us earlier on the program, and you have an 8-0 lead in this game, and now we're all tied up at 9 as you decide to pitch to Aaron Judge, and he hits a two-run homer.
Don't want to gloss over this one. No, I haven't given a lot of updates here on this, and we just didn't have any bets. But the Cubs and the Guardians, this is Cubs 5-3, bottom of the fifth. Tanner Bibee has been chased in this one. Four innings, six hits given up, and he walked four. So he got to 96 pitches, Mark, in four innings, because when you walk a lot and then you strike out five along the way, that is going to get the pitch count up for you. So Bibee Chase gives up five earned to this Cubs team. Imanaga, five innings, three hits, no walks, four Ks for him. The three hits, all three solo home runs that he has given up in this game. So he's given up three hits and all three have left the yard.
And we've talked about Imanaga before this game got started against the Guardians, is that, he's pitching to an ERA under one on the road and a significantly different ERA at home. So he's pitched well tonight. They have a 5-3 lead. You mentioned Bibee getting chased for the Cleveland Guardians, and he expected some runs tonight out there, and that's exactly what you've gotten.
We have gotten going there, Kansas City and Seattle, and then also San Francisco and Arizona. And good on you, sir, because top of the first, a two spot across for San Francisco. In the first, and let's see, was it Devers? It was not Devers. It was a solo homer by Yastrzemski to lead off the game, and then Flores gets on, and then Lee knocked him in. So there we go, 2-0 early on there. Man, Merrill Kelly, he is the definition of average. He is just like, he's not bad. He's not good. He's just the definition of average.
No, he's a guy, right? Yeah. He's like an NFL, like when they're scouting guys, they call him Jags, right? A guy. Like that's what Merrill Kelly is. He's just a guy. He's there. He's okay. He's not going to kill you. He's not also going to go out there and make your team or your staff decidedly better, right? So he fills a spot. You hope that he goes out there and gives you a competitive start. The Giants, who have not played their best baseball after the acquisition of Rafael Devers from the Boston Red Sox, they need to get back to winning baseball games. And the Giants get a two spot early on Arizona.
That live line in Yankees Blue Jays -110, Yankees -118, Blue Jays as they are tied at 9. Any live lines worth bringing up in any of these other games? Not really. So it seems like, I mean, obviously a flip of the favorites there in Giants and Diamondbacks, -173 now on the Giants as they get that two spot in the first as they went in as dogs. So lots of value for you there on your number. Again, one first pitch still to come. White Sox and Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw is a -360 favorite. Brandon Eisert, I think, is going to be I think he's an opener here for the White Sox or whatever, +278 on the road as dogs for them. 9.5 is our total as Clayton Kershaw goes for 3,000 strikeouts. He needs three of those in order to get there. Probably going to need a couple segments here to talk about this division in the NFC North with Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota, and Chicago. It is the only division in which all of the win totals are set at teams having to get to over 500 in order for them all to get there. Detroit set at 10.5, 9.5 on Green Bay, and then 8.5 both on Minnesota and Chicago. Starting at the top with Detroit, they are your favorites in this division, Mark, and I think that this division could be the deepest and toughest in the NFL. I don't know if it's going to be as easy for the Lions this year as it was last year. I think they're probably the rightful favorites, but if we were talking in a couple of, you know, if you and I are talking in a few months and into the season, and we're talking about any of these teams leading this division, I don't think I would be completely blown away.
Would you be surprised if it was Chicago?
I am. So my biggest position in the offseason last year was fading Chicago. And for whatever reason, I'm in on Chicago this year. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, man. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid because I'm going in and looking at what they did. And if you're going to take a young quarterback and give him the new coaching staff, how about give him a good offensive line? At least on paper. I know we've seen good offensive lines on paper before not perform on the field, but on paper, it's going to be like a top five offensive line heading into the season that they did for him. You've got the weapons at receiver. You go out and you've got a good running back. You get him a tight end as well in Loveland that's going to be able to make some plays for you. Like, I think the offensive side of the ball for this team is really, really, really impressive. And I understand you still got to play defense, but I don't know if there's a massive weak spot on the defense. I guess maybe at one of the corner positions could be looked at as a weak spot, but I think all in all the offseason moves that this team made really checked the boxes for me.
Oh, listen, they had an unbelievable offseason. And just like we talked about with the Jets, Aaron Glenn, I think it's a significant upgrade, you think, with Ben Johnson taking over as head coach out in Chicago. So I'd be surprised, though, if they win the division, like if they're leading the division. That would surprise me. Going over 8.5, that would not surprise me. Potentially being a playoff team would not surprise me. I'm a big fan of Caleb Williams. I agree with everything you said in terms of the weapons and give him the offensive line. He's got to stop holding on to the football for, you know, forever, yeah. Which was an issue at USC, was an issue last year in Chicago. Every play is not going to be a great play. Sometimes you just live to play another down. But I think when you look at overall that division, I think the winner to me comes from either Detroit or Green Bay. I mentioned, that I really like the Packers. I know we're going to go more in depth on this division coming up after the timeout, but I can understand your love of Chicago. I really can. And I get the fact that you're going to look at and think that this is going to be the year that everything comes together. It might take a longer than just year one for Ben Johnson, but I can understand where you like where this team's going to be offensively.
I will say this. I am completely prepared to say that I was wrong about this team because Caleb Williams might just not be the dude, right? I mean, like, I think that there's, right. Like you mentioned, there was problems at USC. There were red flags at USC for sure. There were some teams that you heard that were not interested in him in the draft. Had the Bears not wanted him anyway, they weren't interested in him. So I think that there's at least a non-zero chance that he's not any good. And then it doesn't matter what the offensive line looks like. It doesn't matter the weapons at receiver. It doesn't matter the coaching staff or any of that because he just can't get the job done.
Yeah, there is that possibility. I think Williams, right. So I do think Williams has fallen into some bad habits that I think now We're going to find out. If Caleb Williams can't play in the National Football League, then he can't play. It's not from a lack of commitment from the team. Like, we've seen teams put young quarterbacks, Matt, in positions to fail. This is not a position to fail. They've given him everything he could possibly imagine. A brilliant head coach that's an offensive genius, a rebuilt, revamped, very good offensive line, playmakers at wide receiver, a young dynamic tight end, a running game. There's nothing that Caleb Williams doesn't have at his disposal. Now he has to go out there and take advantage of
it. 100%. Go and prove it to us that you are the guy, because they invested in you in every single which way but loose here. When we come back, Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota. What do we think about J.J. McCarthy? Is Green Bay maybe the team to win this division?